We're not looking at the things which are seen. There is more to life than the trial that you are presently going through. And not, I don't want to be hard-hearted, but Lord says that that is the things that are seen, in other words, the trial that we're going through, or even these things, or what the world is dictating to us is success, and is, I've arrived, I've achieved, even that value that the world puts out there, that all those things which are seen are temporal, and they're passing away. They're passing away. They're in the old creation. They're rooted from the old creation. They're rooted from the first Adam. And the first Adam is condemned to death, actually. It's condemned to becoming a non-entity. The first Adam and all of its creation, the world as we know it, and all of the systems of this world already have condemned on the front door because they are not created by God. Who is the prince of this world? Jesus said, the prince of this world comes but finds nothing in me. We know that there is a spirit working in the world that would want us to fix on that which is temporal, that which is passing away. Oh, I must have this, I must have that, or I will not look like I'm blessed. Or I must do this or achieve this or experience that or have this much education or that much association in the social realm or have 5 million followers on Facebook. And if I don't have that, then I'm not worth anything. That's what the world wants us to believe. But those things are just temporal. They are passing away. And Paul said in that portion of scripture in 2 Corinthians 4:18 that what he is working within us is an eternal weight of glory. In other words, the heavenly is gripping those people who have had their eyes opened to that which is God's desire, that which God has birthed us for, and he is wooing us onward. Farther shall I go. I cannot linger here. The Spirit draws me on. I come to be with thee. That's the lyrics of this song that we've been meditating on lately. But many people in the Bible had this apprehending. In chapter 3 of Philippians, Paul explains that he wants to get a hold of that for which the Lord put his hand on his life for. And in the King James, it says apprehended. In other words, the Lord put his hand on you. We have sensed the hand of God on our lives. Put up your hands, if you've ever felt the hand of God on your life. You have felt, not my will, but thine be done. You have felt, Lord, I want to go your way. Sometimes we run away from it for a while and we go astray and we don't quite bring everything under subjection in him. But his desire is, children, my sons and daughters, I have something that is higher for you than the natural realm. I have a life abundant for you that is not in this world. And it doesn't mean that we become so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, but our feet can be on the ground and walking as the light of God wherever we go and still have our heart and our mind in the heavens. Amen. So whatever we are drawn to, that will let us know the condition of our eyesight. God wants us to have that heavenly vision so that we will see that there is something beyond what we are experiencing now. What we experience in this life and what we know and what the world tells us is real is not really real, because the seeds of corruption are in it. But God's seed is incorruptible, and this corruption will not inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. But who is going to get the kingdom of God? Those who have put off this natural and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is our inheritance. And we have been gripped like Paul. Paul was so gripped, if you read Philippians chapter 3, that he counted all his pedigree. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He had achieved the top rank of being a Pharisee, which was a very respected system of religion in Judaism at that time. He was zealous. He was committed to it. He wanted to bring everything into that order. But one day, God put his hand on Paul. I thank the Lord for the day that he put his hand on me, because I've never been the same. In fact, I feel at times that God, and this sounds a little extreme, but I feel that sometimes that God has put his hand right down my throat and has grabbed me by my innards. And I am gripped by God. I am gripped, and I want him to open my eyes to that invisible thing. What is fear? Fear is really us seeing and assessing things by what we have seen and heard. Fear is something that is pretty real when you're under it. It feels real, and it's gripping, but it cannot remain when we let the gripping of the Lord Jesus Christ come upon us in such a way that we can hear his voice, and he will teach us what is real. We are not to be taught by the world what is real and what is not real, because the basis of our life is the Word of God, as Sunil was saying, and I praise the Lord for that word that he gave earlier. The basis of our life is that we were born again by the incorruptible seed, the Word of God. And that seed jumped off this page, and it got into our hearts, and that became the real thing. So all fear must go. All fear must go. It is not the reality. Fear is not the reality. God is the reality. And what he says is real. Not what thought goes in here and in here and in here and comes upon us and flies around our head like a swarm of flies. That's not real. The Word of God is truth. That is real. That is what is real, the invisible Word of God. And when we feast on it, and when we adjust ourselves to what it says, we will have peace and all fear will go. Because we are walking in the heavenlies. We're walking in that which is invisible. We're walking in reality. Now, one of my favorite verses is in John chapter 3, and I'll see if I can find it here. Sometimes I can't find it. It depends on what Bible I'm using. Okay, verse 13. John 3:13. This is Jesus talking. And let's go back to 12. I have told you earthly things, and you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No man has ascended up from to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So where was Jesus? Was he on earth or was he in heaven? Or is it both? It's both, isn't it? He was exemplifying the way that the new creation works. We walk on this earth. We are very human. And yet God has placed within us the incorruptible seed, and now we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the place where God dwells, and now we live in the heavenly. And when we walk on this earth, we're not walking like as other men walk, because we're not going by what we see, because of faith is implanted in our heart because we've heard the word of God. So we begin to see a different reality. The reality is our God reigns. The reality is that no man can overcome God. The reality is that we are in him. That's the reality. The reality is that he will never leave us nor forsake us. The reality is that he is with us even unto the end of the world or the age. As long as time lasts, he's with us. That's the reality. What are we seeing today? Are we seeing reality? Or are we just going by what we see in the natural? God has called us to live an abundant life. He has called us to live above the circumstances. He's called us to live above what's happening in this world. He wants us to see into the heavenlies. He wants to see heavenly realities. He wants us to see and know and be persuaded and gripped by a call that comes from within up to him. And he wants us to walk in the reality of the kingdom. Now, how do you do that? You just let God arise. Let God arise within us. Let us turn our eyes upon Jesus. We are part of this equation. When something is assailing us, or we don't have enough, or we think we won't have enough, or we don't feel like we're accepted, or that we are not enough, that is not the reality of the situation. The reality of the situation is what God has said, not what others have said. It's what God says. And he can speak it to us through a brother or sister. He can speak it over the pulpit to us. He can speak it to us when we're reading the word and we're by ourselves. He can speak it to us when we're in the shower and we're meditating on him. He can speak it to us anywhere. A ray of light from heaven can come into our being and cause us to see. It's all about eyesight. It's all about what are we trusting in? What are we seeing? We can choose to see. We can choose to open our eyes and see the reality of Christ. Because what we see now with our natural eye will all pass away. And it is not the reality of the situation. That's why I love that song, I am who you say I am. I am what you say I am. Why? Because I believe in the I am. I have been gripped by him who is invisible. Let's turn back I wanted to explain just a little bit about John 3:13, that Jesus did not walk by what he saw.